The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Hear that? It's the call of the Crave. And when the Crave calls, you know what to do. Try the $5 Bacon Bundle. Because the only thing better than a White Castle slider is a White Castle slider topped with crispy hickory smoked bacon. So pick any two of either the Bacon Cheese Slider, 1921 Bacon Cheese Slider, or Chicken Bacon Ranch Slider. And also get a small fry for just $5 with the $5 Bacon Bundle. White Castle. Follow your Crave.
Coming up on the white flag, one lap to go. Bubba Wallace, a win a year ago, made history. And now, looking for his second career win in the Cup Series, Bubba Wallace wins in Kansas.
Bubba Wallace, what they gonna say now, baby? Let's go!
Bubba Wallace becomes the 18th different winner in 2022.
Just thankful. Thanks for the opportunity. And thankful to shut the hell up for a lot of people.
Hey, everybody, welcome to NASCAR America. Kyle Petty, Steve Attart, myself. Big win for Bubba Wallace. He did a great job all weekend. This show is all about you guys. 1-800-NASCAR-NBC. Give us a call. You can tweet us, Steve, your favorite thing. You can tweet us, hashtag MotorMouse, if you want to join the conversation, guys. Once again, another crazy race.
Another crazy race. Listen, first two races of the playoffs, you have non-playoff drivers win these things, okay? It's fascinating to me to sit at home. I was home this weekend listening to you guys. But it's fascinating to flip on the TV on a Sunday to USA and to watch, and there's a different group of leaders every week. These five lead last week at Darlington. Now we've got five more. But it was a great race. It was a great race. It was fun to watch. Restarts, entertaining as all get out, dude, man. It took my breath. I finally just got it. That's Kyle Petty's drinking game. Restarts. Go to the refrigerator, get a beer, because you don't want to see this stuff on TV. That's my drinking game.
Well, we knew Kansas was a good race in the spring, and it didn't disappoint in the fall. You mentioned the restarts, the side-by-side action, multiple lanes. So I'm on both sides of this. I'm surprised a playoff winner didn't, or yeah. playoff driver didn't win the race. Not surprised, though, it was Bubba Wallace. Even for his only second win, Toyotas were going to be good. He was really fast. In Michigan, thought he was going to get the job done there, had a shot at the final restart, which is, I think, anybody can ask for. And, you know, he beat everyone. Yeah. I mean, other than Reddick and Carvin Harvick, who had a few issues, all the heavy hitters, the guys we thought had speed, were still there at the end. Truex had a great car. Denny had a great car. There was a lot of storylines and mistakes. If we listed every pick mistake on this show, we would take up the entire show. Yeah. I mean, everyone had issues on pit road.
It is amazing how many drivers are making mistakes, and, and teams are making mistakes that are in the playoffs. The guys you would think this time of year have been the best all year long could step up. And honestly, they just a lot of them haven't been able to. Some of them have. The key to the first round has been consistency. If you can just be consistent, not make mistakes, that's okay. Back to Bubba Wallace, you know, this is – we're seeing right in front of us the maturity, the ability, the experience starting to match up, all that stuff starting to match up at the right time. I tell you what I'm impressed about is that about a third of the way through this year, I was very concerned about where they were as a team, where Bubba was. It seemed like just things couldn't go right for them. And over time, that wears you down. But they overcame that. They got over that. They all collectively worked it out. They individually worked it out. And now, you know, it's not a surprise that he won this week.
No.
It's not a surprise at all. They've been running in the front, been running really well. The pit crew was a major problem. They've got that fixed. Like, they've done a great job of taking that team that was showing some promise and turning it into a team that can deliver.
Yeah, we all know it, sitting at this desk. A fast car solves a lot of problems. And Toyota was not a fast car at the first of the season. No. They struggled. They struggled at a lot of places. I think what you see is that Bubba, and we see it, and you talked about it, and this, not just Bubba Wallace, this could be, this is Christopher Bell, this is William Byron, this is even, when you start qualifying in the top 5 or 10, when you start running in the top 5 or 10, you move it up to the top 5, you move it up to the top 3, you start winning races. And that's the progression we've seen with Bubba, whether it's the 23 team or the 45 team. We've seen it with both cars that he's been in, both teams that he's been with this year, that he's more competitive. Right off the truck, he's more competitive. When you're more competitive right off the truck, then that gives you something to hang your hat on to get through that first day to get into Sunday.
Well, you mentioned Toyotas. I think the challenge for Bubba has always been when the Toyotas are good, that means you have to outrun the fellow Toyota drivers. And, oh, by the way, that driver lineup involves Kyle Busch, yeah, Denny Hamlin, Martin Truex Jr., Christopher Bell at Joe Gibbs Racing. Was his teammate Kurt Busch here for length of the season. So I only bring that up because, yeah, to your point, yeah, no, you know, when the Toyotas, no, are good, that makes you feel good when you're driving a Toyota. Then you're looking around and everybody else driving a Toyota, like, man, you guys are pretty good too. So that's what I love best about this is you know, he had to go toe-to-toe with the experienced guys, yeah, in the same equipment, and he beat them.
You know what? I'm going to chime in. I like this. We've all had teammates, and you just want to beat your teammates,
oh,
man.
Yeah.
You just want, so Bubba gets in his teammate's car and does the same thing his teammate did. He wins races. There's nothing better than that because that shows that's Kurt Busch. That's, yes, Bubba Wallace. That's an elevation right there. When you get in Kurt Busch's car, and you can win races too, that's a big statement. I think that's a big statement.
Well, Bubba Wallace has had a lot of pressure on his shoulders that a lot of us will never understand.
Yeah, true.
And you know, it that adds a level of complexity to what he's trying to make happen.
Yeah.
And I feel like now that noise is starting to go away. I feel like things are starting to slow down for Bubba. And that happens to every successful driver where they learn how to move things aside and focus at the right time. And it comes sooner for others than others.
Yeah.
Like everybody, we're all different. We're all people and none of us are the same. And driving a race car is emotionally taxing, to say the least. It's not just the 3 hours that you're in the,
no,
race car. It's the hours and hours and hours that it takes to be good at it. And I just like where Bubba is right now, and I think they can continue to get better. But in every race, there is a moment in which is huge, good for some, bad for others. A turning point for this weekend's race with Bubba Wallace. Let's go dig into why this race and how this race is won right now. Pit road's open. Check out Bubba Wallace. Comes in fourth. Check out Denny Hamlin. He's in sixth. Look how they come off. We just talked about the pit crews. Second for Wallace. Third for Denny Hamlin. So both of them have good track position. Who's going to take advantage of it? Who's going to make this happen? So the restart, here we go. Alex Bowman with a great start. Look at Bubba Wallace. Look in the second row, or now the third row. Denny Hamlin, his teammate, Christopher Bell, who had a bad stop. He's jumped up on the outside of Hamlin, and now they're three wide. And three wide without forward momentum is not a good place to be. Bubba Wallace is on the outside fighting for second, and Denny Hamlin is fighting for his life, giving up spots. His pit crew did a great job, Steve, but he was not able to keep it on the restart.
No, Denny Hamlin gave up time on the restart, so then he tried to be a little aggressive, came to pit road first of all the leaders. Basically, he lost almost 4 seconds to Bubba Wallace through that restart and through that whole thing. He comes a lap later. His pit crew was fine. They did a nice stop. He did an okay job getting on and off pit road, but really the tip of the hat has to go to the 45 because we've all been there, Kyle, when you're leading the race and you think to yourself, man, I got to make a green flag pit stop. This is a pretty good chance to lose the race. Bubba Wallace did anything but. He actually beat Denny Hamlin and the 20 on and off pit road by nearly a second. And the pit crew also a little bit quicker than both the 20 and the 11. I do believe that has something to do with being in the playoffs. The 11 and the 20 can't afford speeding penalties,
yeah,
can't afford a loose wheel. The 45, they can afford it all. And, man, the driver did a nice job. Then it was all just waiting for everybody else to come to pit road. And look at the gap he pulled over the 20 and what eventually would be the second-place finisher of the 11 of Denny Hamlin.
Yeah.
So you mentioned it. It started with a set of good green flag – or, excuse me, caution flag pit stops. But I really thought that was Denny Hamlin's turning,
yeah,
point. I thought we were going to come in here and say, Denny Hamlin – wins another one, and this time the pit crew saves him because his pit crew was not solid all day long. They had issues, but when it mattered most, they showed up.
Yeah.
And they gave him that third place. This time it was a restart that derailed the 11. It didn't derail the 45.
But we've seen that. You see that a lot, and we've seen it maybe more this year than – let's go back to I think New Hampshire Truex has the dominant car and then gets caught in the middle on a restart and backs up and never makes it up the rest of the day, never recovers from that restart. And it's the same thing here. And we talk about it. You guys talk about it every Sunday in nauseam. You just talk about it. You got to get what you can on a restart. You got to go on a restart. You got to be aggressive on a restart. And when it comes time, this is why. This is why right here, because everything, that race was won and lost, as you say, on that restart.
Kyle, you got to find a better phrase than that, nauseam. That makes you feel
I'm sorry.
You're not...
I apologize.
I thought he was talking to you.
I apologize.
He was talking to me.
Well, I know who's happy today, and it was not being accused of any bad words. It was Bubba Wallace, and we're fortunate enough to have Bubba join us. What's up, bud?
What's going on?
Man, you guys did a great job yesterday. You must feel like you and your team are making a major step forward. Tell us where you think you are.
Yeah, no doubt. It was definitely a stellar weekend for us. Great performance. Just proud of the team. We've definitely turned up the wick a little bit the last couple months and handful of races and really been executing well. So it's been a lot of fun to drive and just communicating well with the team and getting what we need out of the car, which is important for us in winning races. So we've been there. We've been there in the spot to try and get it done. We just haven't been able to close it out, and proud to be able to do that yesterday.
Well, Bubba, I kind of want to go back to that spot you talked about, right? You were so good at Michigan. We kind of talked about this. And before the race at Michigan, I said, man, I don't care if Bubba wins. I just want him in that last restart to feel it, to feel what those guys do. I know it was an emotional day. It didn't go your way. But then fast forward to yesterday, we listened in on your radio, and you sounded like you were sitting in the booth next to us. You were like, man, I got it. You were in total control. Talk about that kind of development as a driver where you can have everything you want right in front of you, yet you sounded calm as a cucumber, man.
Yeah, you know, you had a lot of time to think about a lot of stuff. Don't get me wrong. I was counting every lap, every second. Ever since we took the lead and had that green flag stop, I was excited, but I was trying to control that and not, you know, overdo it, because of course I knew there was going to be a caution. It's like this can't end this way. It's got to end under a caution. Something's going to happen. But it didn't. It kind of just went smooth sailing. So that allowed me to stay, you know, kind of reserved, and that's important in these deals because it's never over until you cross the line. And so. I appreciate the support from, you know, from Freddie and Booty giving me updates, but it felt like it was, you know, ramping me up more than, you know, helping me drive harder and get back away from those guys.
You know, I want to go to the total season. You know, the Toyotas weren't fast at the beginning of the year, and that was a struggle. And you're an emotional guy, and you wear all your emotions right there. They're for the world to see. Do you think that the year that you've gone through, to be in a position to drive this car and race for a manufacturer's championship, that has prepared you for this time, that you've come through a little bit of fire this year to get to where you're at, that you're a lot calmer in this situation than you would have been?
100%, right? I mean, this season has been a big learning curve for, I mean, every car in the field, every team, every driver. So I feel like, you know, throughout those tough moments, you know, we ended up picking up a lot of speed, you know, kind of, let's say around race 10, a little bit before, give or take. And then it was a matter of fine tuning. And then, like I said, these last 2 months or so, it's been, okay, we've jumped up to the next stage. And so you look back on all those bad races that where we were fast, Charlotte, Kansas won, and things didn't go our way. And it's the races like that builds you to who you are to today. And you don't realize that in the moment, right? You're pissed off, frustrated, making some people mad, probably. But it's something that teaches you a lesson, and it makes you come back stronger. And so, you know, for every bad race that we've had, I've gotten better and better from that and learned from it on how to, you know, turn that back into, you know, passion and motivation to go out and do better.
Well, Bubba, I know, you know, you have this opportunity, drive for Denny Hamlin, and you are teammates with Kurt Busch. We're all hoping Kurt Busch can come back. But what about those two guys and that experience? How much has that helped you navigate through those tough days?
You know, we're all, you know, pushing the same envelope, and we understand when our bad days, you know, what we need to do to be better and how to navigate that mentally. But I keep saying it, man, it's impressive and it's really cool. And things that I, you know, didn't really pay attention to at first, you know, I mean, really up until this year is, I mean, the day that Denny had, on the racetrack at the beginning of the race, you know, sitting there talking about it in the debrief with him, this morning, he was, you know, they got behind on the balance. They had some pit road issues and they bounced back to finish second, you know, easily, you know, me last year in those moments, you know, you give up and it's like, man, there's, you have no confidence, right? You're like, what else could go wrong? And I see guys like Denny, Kurt, Harvick's really good at it. You know, those guys grind and grind and grind. And next thing you know, they're in the top 10. And it's like, well, damn, I didn't think they were that good at the beginning of the day. But it's all about sticking with it and persevering. And I think that's the biggest lesson that I've learned this year is no matter what, you just continue to drive and it's eventually going to turn around for you.
You mentioned confidence, contract extension with 2311, the confidence from the ownership to put you in that 45 to race for that owner's championship, as Kyle mentioned, you know, let you feel the pressure of the playoffs. For you, now that winning races is it's here, it's obtained, you have a couple trophies, how do you kind of keep not motivating yourself? I know you want to keep winning, but do you set goals? You got to put notes in your phone? Like, is it a day by day, a week by way? Like how do you do your work week in and week out to just make sure you keep on that grind when it's so easy, as we all know up here, to kind of get lost in the forest at times, this competition on Sunday?
Yeah, honestly, I messed up. I got the contract extension, then I went and won. I should have won before that so I could pay for more money.
Man, no kidding. You got the timing wrong on that one.
But no, you know, for me, you know, the people have their own processes, right? Everybody does things differently. Me, man, I get done with racing and do my debriefs, and then I just put it to the side. We have Sim on Wednesdays. But honestly, it doesn't ramp back up for me until Friday evening, Saturday morning, when we're at the track. And it's like, okay, time to put your shoes on, go get a glove, get in the game and do it all over again. You know, that's as simple as that. And, you know, this weekend for us is going to be a challenge because we haven't been to Bristol yet. We have when it was dirt, but not with this car on the concrete surface. So it's going to be a tall order for us to figure out in a short amount of time. But honestly, I just continue to check the boxes and do everything that they asked me to do. And it seems to be paying off.
So I'm just going to ask you one question. Obviously you drove for my dad. So I text your mom when the race was over with, and I think her finger got hung on the trophy emoji. I wasn't sure cause I got like 6,000 of them. How excited was she when you finally talked to her?
Yeah, nah, she was pumped. I called her as we were leaving the racetrack, and she was super pumped for us and the team and just happy and proud. So good to talk to her. So I talked to my dad, too, so that was really cool. But just, you know, it's a family sport. No matter what you go through, the trials and tribulations of life, family is always the most important thing. So it was great to have Amanda there as well. Got her first win in person. But, yeah, mom was pumped.
So, Bubba, we have our show here. We always ask the fans to call in. Our first caller today, Alfredo's got a question for you.
Okay. So, first off, Bubba, congrats on the win last night.
Thank you.
And my question is, how does it feel for you, a non-playoff driver, to hold off one of your bosses who is in the playoffs to win the race and what could have been a season sweep in the number 45 for a chance to advance to the next round of the NASCAR Cup Series?
Yeah, I mean, we did it at Talladega last year, so we held off all the playoff guys there. So it's, you know, it was pretty cool to see, like, Denny on that pit sequence, right? I kind of visually noticed the gap that we built just from pit entry and pit exit. Like, we nailed that on C-Bell. And you kind of start to look in your mirror a little bit, and he's like, okay, he's closing in. He's still got a decent lead. And then all of a sudden you see the 11 pop in the picture, and he's closing at a pretty good rate. And so it's like, I know I'm loose right now, and I'm driving to the edge. These guys, the field's the same way. So it's like, if I continue to do this and don't make a mistake, we'll be okay. But felt good to beat the Vols.
Well, Bubba, I think, you know, what's cool about having you on today is none of us were surprised. Like, the way you guys have been running. I mean, seriously, like, we had some winners on here. We're like, well, that was kind of out of the air, but not with you. Yeah. You guys have been doing it, and congratulations.
DJ on the pre-race show picked him. That's you were his pick. I'm going to give you a little word of advice. I got one thing for you, though. That cluttered up trophy case behind you, you better clean it off a little bit, man. You're going to have a little bit of room. I don't think this is going to be the last one.
I got my trophy downstairs on another shelf, so we're good.
Bang, right. That made me build my kitchen table for a little while. I have it right there front and center.
You got more wins. Right. You got more wins than that Tennessee helmet does, I can tell you that.
Now they're going.
Just like that. Thanks for coming, bud. Appreciate it.
Thanks for playing.
Hey, buddy. Thank you so much.
Guys.
Congratulations.
Thanks,
great time. Congratulations. Great job.
You know, this sounds crazy, but I'd just like to see Bubba Wallace smile.
Yes.
You said it, right? Yeah. Like, if you look over the last 2, 3, 4 years, right, what he's had to do inside the race car, but more importantly, outside the race car.
That's true.
What he has dealt with, the pressures he's carried. He has had the weight on his shoulders that we understand as competitors, but this whole other weight that none of us can understand. Yeah. I can't even understand it. Yeah. But I love to see him smile and smile for the right reasons, which means he was the best on the day when there were a lot of bests. And
there
he
were
beat
a lot
all.
Of bests that day, for sure.
Well, we go from lucky to have Bubba Wallace on. He's always fun, and like you said, it's good to see him smiling. Yep. It's always cool. We all live it. We've all lived it and know the pressure. It's always cool to see that guy do. Hey, I can do this.
Yeah, I can do this. True.
And our next guest is a guy that we all know we can do it. Hall of Famer Dale Jarrett's going to join us.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed. Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Two races into the round of 16, one driver has assured himself a spot in the final round, but it wasn't with a win. It was consistency. Christopher Bell in the 20 car plus 58. His name is in yellow. Everybody else kind of in the mix. A few guys underneath Christopher Bell are feeling pretty good. Kevin Harvick all the way down in 16th at minus 35. While mathematically it isn't a must win, I think probability says it's going to have to be a must win for Kevin Harvick going to Bristol. All right, now let's go through the field, presented by our friends at eBay Motors.
Still frustrated about the first half of the race, obviously. Just, you know, we just aren't executing all that well. But really happy for our 11 Toyota team. They fought hard. They really stepped up that last half. We made the car quite a bit better.
Finally getting the results that this team deserves. You know, our speed has been there all year.
You know, if it was 30 laps shorter, shorten those runs up, get some cautions, I think we had a shot at it.
We fought hard. It was the last run was probably our best run, so it was good to have that.
I felt like we had top five speed, just we needed the track position to go with it, and we just weren't quite good enough to be able to drive back through the field again.
On either side of tight and loose all day, it was really just the fine line, and we never just settled into a nice run.
I feel like today in Kansas, we minimize the damage. I feel like we had a fast car at times. We had a top five car at times, but at times we were a 20 place car.
And you know, we just got hosed at one point on the restart, final restart there, and lost four spots that I gained, and then never got those back.
For restarts, I just didn't have a great balance, but I also wasn't doing a good job on the restart. Pretty much all race long. I think I only had like two good ones, so just everything I seemed to do was wrong.
I had a bad restart there, fell back a bunch, and our car really wasn't driving very different than what it was earlier in the race when we were up front, but we finished. That was a step in the right direction.
You know, if it was a long run, we would have gotten lapped, and then we just got our car so much better through the middle part of the race, and then towards the end, just hard to really know what to have better for what we had.
We pitted and put a set of tires on. We put scuffs back on trying to save a set towards the end of the second stage. Lost some track position with that. Refired again, and the car was swinging and driving good. A little confused on how and why.
Well, that was Through the Field, presented by eBay Motors. You can be your own pit crew with 122 million parts right at your fingertips. Get the right parts at the right prices. eBayMotors.com. Let's ride. Man, it was an exciting day at Kansas, the racing on the racetrack, but some issues. But joined our old buddy DJ. DJ, you were on the pre-race. Before we get into all those drivers we heard from, we just had an interview with the race winner, and your crystal ball, your magic eight ball, said the 45 was going to go to victory lane. I know you weren't surprised because you picked him. What are your thoughts after seeing it actually happen?
Yeah, you know, I think there was a time during the middle part of the race when you could really see that Bubba had a car that was capable of running up front for sure. Was it going to be one that could win? It was a matter of what he was going to be able to do. And I actually told Brad Daugherty as we were sitting there watching that he was having it seemed like he was having a tough time, kind of like he did at Michigan trying to get by Logano after that last restart. And I think that he was having a hard time figuring out exactly how to make the passes that he needed to make quickly and dispose of these drivers. But all of a sudden, and I told Brad this too, it was like a light went on that the times that he had tried, all of a sudden he figured out how he needed to do this. And I saw him mature right there and take what he had learned at Michigan and what he learned yesterday and put it to use and make these passes look rather easy. I mean, he made it look like he had 40, 50 horsepower more than those guys. And it was simply because of where he was making his moves and what he was doing on the racetrack. So it, really good to see him do that. Yeah, it was fun to be able to pick the winner. I mean, gosh, he had a good race there the first time. His pit crew just put him in the back twice, and he even had to go to the back once yesterday. But, you know, he didn't pressure himself any there. You could see him just methodically work his way back. So really proud of him. Great interviews that he's done, and a really good day for the sport in general, too.
Well, DJ, while you have us on, that was great insight on Bubba, but there's a lot of other drivers still in the playoffs, some looking good, some looking bad. I think we should try to just buzz through as many of these drivers, give our different opinions, and I'm going to get it kicked off with the one that's locked in because he's the funnest to talk about. We're going to talk about Christopher Bell. What is first in stage one, second in stage two, and third in the race get you? It gets you a stress-free trip to Bristol night race. He's the only one that has that stress-free. So in my mind, Christopher Bell, mission accomplished. I actually think he could go win the Bristol Night Race because he can go there without the pressure, Jeff.
Oh, yeah, Christopher Bell. I picked him to be in the championship four, so it doesn't surprise me. I think that this team is doing their best, and I think they're going to be a threat.
Without a doubt.
A guy I've been watching is, Alex Bowman. Alex Bowman said before the race, he said, "I'm here to try to prove people that I belong here." And I'm like, what? What'd you say? Like, to me, he did a nice job.
Are you talking
week.
That directly at me? Because I'm the one that had him out.
He was looking for your number.
Yeah, I think he was looking for. Listen, I've already got my crow in the oven. Don't worry about it. I forgot about that.
But Alex Bowman, you know, he's 6 in points, 30 points to the good, two solid events.
Yeah.
Bringing their best to the playoffs. They've stepped their game up since the playoffs started. They struggled hard in the regular season. But right now, I feel like they've done what you have to do in the playoffs. You have to get better, and this team has done that.
Kyle, who you got your eye on?
I got Suarez. Daniel, they've had 11 top 10s this year. I really thought that this team was going to come into the playoffs and grind it out. Not been as solid as I thought they could have, but I still think they've done a good enough job in this first round for this to be his first time in the playoffs to be able to move forward. They're going to have to learn. Just as we heard Dale Jarrett talk about how Bubba matured right before your eyes, we're going to have to see Daniel and this team mature to move a lot farther. But those guys, they put in a pretty good first round as far as I'm concerned.
DJ, you got somebody out there you're picking besides Bubba Wallace. Who's the next hot pick?
Yeah, and we heard from him there just a minute ago, and that was William Byron, who had another solid day. Looked like it could even be better than the sixth place finish. But fortunately for this team, they really didn't have a lot of the mistakes that hampered everyone else. So he finds himself in second spot in the points, plus 48. That seems like an easy thing to do to move on into the round of 12, and he's had two solid weeks here. So we're seeing improvement over what we saw through the most of the summer months when this team just couldn't find a finish inside the top 10, couldn't do anything. Here they are performing at a high level now. So I think there's someone to be reckoned with. The problem, and we'll talk about all the guys kind of like this same thing, and I don't care how many points you are ahead or how many you might be behind what you're trying to do, you can't hide at Bristol. It's not like you can just go out there and ride around and get a good finish. That's not going to happen.
Well, you mentioned Byron trending up. The driver I want to talk about, I think, is trending down. While he is okay at plus 26, the one of Ross Chastain. Where did Ross go? Where have we lost Ross Chastain? I know I was a little critical. Jeff was a little critical. But that's our job, to analyze what these guys do on the racetrack. I need Ross to just find out who he wants to be. I don't care who it is. But where has this man gone, right? He had swagger at the beginning of the year. He won a couple races. And watching him out the window, he just looks a little timid behind the wheel. I don't think he's timid, or fearful. I think he's timid perhaps to upset somebody or to run into somebody. Yeah. And if you're going to go to Bristol, not the place to be timid. Plus 26 should be good. One misstep, though, could be bad at Bristol.
Yeah, for sure. Austin Dillon, he did a great job of winning Daytona to get themselves in the playoffs, but they did not have the speed some others have had, and that has shown up in the playoffs. Now, they have done a nice job of not creating problems and making the situation worse, but while teams have had problems, they haven't run well enough to execute on it. Yeah. And so you look at who's around him in points. Kyle Busch is ahead of him. We know the problems he's had. Chase Briscoe behind him. He's had multiple problems. Harvick, multiple problems. This team is grinding and fighting, but they've got to get some finishes. The way they're going to move their next round of playoffs is not have a problem, and other people have them. Yeah. We are going to Bristol, so that is a possibility.
Yeah, and I'm going to go with his teammate, Tyler Reddick. Listen, Tyler Reddick for me is and I watched it yesterday, and he is the new Tim Richmond to me, okay? He's going to run high, wide, and handsome, and he's going to go out in a blaze of glory, man. when something happens to him, he's always leading. He's always up front, it seems like. He puts this car in position, but he needs to almost come back. You almost want to say, just dial it down a quarter notch. Just dial it down a half. Just get me to the end, and then I'll let you go. It's like a racehorse. This team has had speed. You talk about the three car not having speed a lot of places. That's been the quandary for me looking at the Childress team is one car does, one car doesn't. The car that does continues to have trouble. But, again, you get Tyler Reddick through this round and get a reset, I think we're okay.
Trouble's been the name of the game of the playoffs, DJ.
Yeah, it has been. And you talk about how Tyler Reddick might need to dial it back. The driver, Austin Cindric, is who I'm talking about here. He's 12th in the points. He's plus two. So right now he's in the round of 12. But he's going to have to step it up a little bit here. And that might be, he might need to take a little bit more of that, what Tyler Reddick's drinking, and try to go out here and push his way around this a little bit. And this is going to be a perfect weekend to do it. Heard him talk about losing four spots on that final restart. You can't do that. You've got to push and shove your way. I know that, he wanted to be careful and make sure they stay in the game and don't want to take themselves out, but he's really going to have to push the issue here come Saturday night in Bristol if he plans on being part of the round of 12. Has the talent, has the car to do that on the short track, I believe, but we'll see what happens.
Cut it, record it. Chase Briscoe moves on after Bristol. That's my prediction of the week. He comes in minus nine. I just like his approach. He reminds me a little of Tony Stewart. His hat never fits quite right. His suit's a little disheveled. He's as blue-collar as blue-collar gums. And I'm going to tell you, if you think Bristol's going to be easy, don't start. If you don't think you're going to have to pick up a shovel, it ain't a place for you. Chase Briscoe reminds me of a just purebred race car driver. Not a lot of flash, but a lot of hard work. He makes up 9 points. I have Chase Briscoe into the next round.
You know,
you know
dirt,
they
right?
took the dirt off of that, right, Steve?
Listen, that's fine. That's fine. You bring your cup of coffee, bet. You bring your cup of coffee, bet. I've been drinking free coffee all week.
Hey, you know what he got right is the hat doesn't fit. You got that part right. Hey, so Chase Elliott, the most popular driver, disastrous Darlington, a disastrous start to their playoffs. Made a mistake. He admitted he made a mistake, but they recovered. Like, they did what they needed to do. Did not, nothing great, nothing fantastic, but they got their feet back underneath them. I am concerned, though, that this team has not had the performance that we saw them having a month and a half ago. I am concerned about where they are. As the playoffs start, you got to step it up. And I think this team is kind of grinding itself back in some form or fashion. Good, solid day at Kansas, but if they're going, their goal is winning a championship. Yeah. That's a team, is championship or nothing. Yeah. And in my opinion, they're going to have to find a way to be better than they've been the last month.
Okay, so you give me Joey Logano, and I know why y'all gave me Joey Logano, because you just constantly, and I give Joey to Kyle. Kyle will take Joey. And that's exactly right, because here's the thing. I think last week, going into Darlington, he was the most confident driver of all when we heard him speak. And I think we heard in a soundbite here that he and they might not be on the same page. It's like, I'm not sure how we got off a little bit. I'm not sure where we're at. But still, I think this is a guy, and I've said it 1,000 times before, Kevin Harvick's that guy. You can't count him out. He's just that guy that when you put his back against the wall, when it's time to go to the playoffs, he plays a different game. He just thinks about the sport different. He thinks about each race different. I don't see any issues with Joey. Listen, I got Joey going all the way, so he's moving on here.
DJ, we got Danny Hamlin plus 47, Kevin Harvick minus 35. Who are you going to have your eye on more at Bristol?
Well, I'm going to look at Kevin Harvick more than anyone else. Hamlin is in championship form as a driver in his car. His pit crew better get on the stick here, because they are costing themselves, and it could cost them big time. It's not going to cost them in this round. But Kevin Harvick, must-win situation. I realize that it's not mathematically to that. But how many times – is this the driver that we have talked about more times through these playoffs, through the years, that we have said he's in a must-win situation? And what does he turn around and do? Wins the race. Won't be surprised at all on Saturday night if that happens too.
I wouldn't be surprised if Kevin Harvick won it. I wouldn't be surprised if Kyle Larson won it. Down on himself after this race, said he didn't do anything right. His car wasn't where he wanted it to be. I think he just needs a little swagger back in behind the wheel of the 5 car. Great year a year ago. So many wins and a championship.
Yeah.
Probably even the good year he's had this year has been a little deflating. I think it's time for one of those Cliff Daniels pep talks. Man, we're here. We're in the playoffs. It's time to get going.
So you think it would be an upset win by a playoff driver?
An upset win by a playoff driver. First one so far. So,
listen, Ryan Blaney, they've been solid. The concern I have for Ryan, and they're going through this round, not concerned about that. The concern I have for them is the same as Logano. When you watch them during the race, they'll have winning speed. Like, that car's going to race. The next time you look up, they're running 14. Yeah. Like, they're really up and down in their speed, which I think that goes through the field, but I think it's a little more with the Penske's right now. Ryan Blaney and his team, they're going through this round for sure.
Kyle, you're not starting a team and hiring Kyle Busch, are you? Because I heard there's an announcement, and he's not going to come drive for you.
Big announcement tomorrow for Kyle Busch, and that's going to be the highlight of his week this week. I'm sorry. I don't see him turning it around at Bristol. I mean, it took two cars running over each other to win Bristol the first race for him. So he's not performed anywhere yet, and it's just tough. I did not have Kyle Busch going out in the first round. But I'm pretty much convinced Kyle Busch will not make it out of this first round.
Well, that's all through most of the drivers. DJ, I'm a little frustrated you didn't give me your pick for the 45. You actually didn't even give me any of your good football picks. So it's quite a bad week on the front on the pit box. Man, appreciate you joining, and we'll see you up in Thunder Valley.
Look forward to it. Thanks, guys. Have a good one.
Thank you, man.
All right, from a Hall of Famer and a champ to another champ. When we get back, I think we're going to have Will Power, a little IndyCar action after the break.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
It has been a long time. 2014 was his first NTT IndyCar Series Championship. Will Power joined some very famous names as a two-time NTT IndyCar Series Champion.
Oh, man. That sounds surreal. Honestly, it sounds surreal. I cannot thank you guys enough. It was absolutely a team effort this year. Thank you and congratulations, guys.
In the off-season, my wife said to me, I believe you're going to beat Mario's record and you're going to win the championship. She said those words and I just couldn't believe that that came true.
Hey, Will, how you doing, buddy? Congratulations, two-time champion. I'd like your wife to call me to give me a little motivation to speak tomorrow, if you don't mind.
Yeah.
But you guys must be just extremely excited.
Oh, yeah. A big, big relief. You know, it's just so stressful going to that last weekend when it's all comes down to one race, but tremendous effort from the whole team, actually, that all three drivers performed at a high level and all three teams, actually. I don't think I've been at Penske when we've had a year like this. Very, very dominant. We've won more than half the races and more than half the pole positions as well. So extremely good year for the whole team, and super happy and relieved to get a second championship. Really, really, really great year.
So we've all, chased wins and championships. Take the fan into that final week, right? You know you've had a great season. You've put yourself in position, but it was anything but a given, right? There were multiple drivers that had to reach for it, a few of your teammates, some Chip Ganassi guys. I mean, other heavy hitters, the who's who of IndyCar, and Laguna Seca. Well, I've never raced there. There seems like a lot of opportunities for things to go wrong at that track. What was the kind of the mentality all week and then finally climbing into the car on Sunday?
It was stressful just knowing how IndyCar races go. You know, you can do everything right and then get a yellow at the wrong time, or it's so competitive now. You could just slightly get it wrong in qualifying. You could be, kind of where Newgarden ended up, which is way back in 25th with a little mistake. But then, he's there at the end. So that's pretty typical of IndyCar racing. But yeah, I would say it was the highest pressure weekend for me of the whole season. Just, you never sleep that well, and you're just going over your head the night before the race of all the things, the strategy. Have we done everything we can to make sure there's no mechanical failures? Just so much weight on you for that race. You don't want to get it wrong. And, it's a privilege to be in that position. It really is to feel that pressure. I know that I'm in the later part of my career, and I want to enjoy those moments and remember them. So I would say the whole season for me is just, I've really enjoyed the journey, and I enjoyed the craft of racing itself, putting it all together. Because I realize I'm not going to be able to do this forever.
So you talk about not being able to do it forever. We had a guy and at the cup level, and Terry Labonte went 12 years between his championships. You went 8 years between. What are those years between that? Because it's like you were there every year. What's it like mentally to keep hammering that?
Yeah, it's it obviously teaches you a lot of ups and downs in there, and a lot of close chances. But I think it's kind of where I got to at this point, which is learned how to be ultra consistent through a season, and you had plenty of chances and understood how to not win a championship. So I put everything that I have learned over the last decade and just put it all together in this season. And I have to say that the pit stops, the crew, the car prep, obviously, and the driving, everything, the strategy, we just nailed every, every way you could nail it. And with only one win, and it was kind of that was my philosophy going into the season. It was, I'm just going to play a long game here. I'm going to settle for seconds and thirds at times where, might have a car for a win, but, maybe you throw it away or use your tire up too much and go back too many positions. So it was that was planned from the beginning, because I just had too many seasons getting myself in a big points hole, and then you sort of do some desperate strategies to get up there, and it makes it worse. So it kind of worked out how I had planned it.
I love it when a plan comes together, right? Will, we always have call-ins on this show, and Lali has a question for you.
Hi, Will. How are you? I'm Lali from Toronto.
Very well, thank you.
Will, I just wanted to ask, because a lot has been made this season that this is like a more mellow and serene Willpower that we're seeing in 2022. So I want to know two things. One, did you ever see yourself as not mellow and serene, like very fiery man? And if there was a change, I just want to know, was it conscious? Did you work with a sports psychologist? Did you meditate? Did you do yoga? Like, how did that change come about?
I think it just comes with age, and the longer you're around motorsport, the more you realize that rarely does everything go right. So there's just no reason to get upset and down and, have this roller coaster of a ride through a season, which has happened to me many times. So I think I just realized that I'm not going to do this forever, and I'm going to enjoy this, and I'm not going to get upset if things don't go completely right or I don't finish where I want. And that's really the mentality change. It's just, honestly, it's gratitude. I just feel lucky to be in the team I'm in and to do this job. It's not many people get to do it, and I feel really privileged and lucky to have a career that I've had.
All right, I got one more question, and I'm just going to mention, just say it this way. Mario freaking Andretti, okay? That's all I got to say, man. I mean, that in itself is a career. What does that mean to you personally?
It's the one thing that I have loved from the very beginning of my motorsport career is qualifying and extracting the absolute most out of a car over one lap. And I never would have dreamed to have been up there with an icon like Mario Andretti. And, you know, I was a huge fan of him as a kid. And, there's just not much more to say. It was just, you know, it just blows my mind that I surpassed Mario Andretti in pole positions. And, you know, couldn't do it without the opportunity that Roger Penske gave me and that team. You know, week in, week out, I'm given a car that's capable of getting a pole position. And it's, you know, up to me to get the job done. So, yeah, just what a weekend to get that record and then also win the championship. And, you know, I speak to my dad. I said, what a great weekend. It's a weekend that I'll remember, forever as a part of my racing career.
Well, it was a great weekend and a great career. You've had an incredible career. You've set the standard in a lot of areas, and I love hearing you talk about it now as a more experienced. I feel like as we get older, we appreciate it more. And, I'll tell you, when you get out of the seat, man, you're going to look back at these days, you're going to be like, wow, that was really special. So take every moment, enjoy it, and congratulations. You earned it.
Yeah, congratulations.
Congrats, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you, guys. Really appreciate it.
I'm going to tell you, I'm going to take that answer about gratitude for this opportunity and send it to my kids. There's a lot to be learned. You know, seriously, there's a lot to be learned. I don't think any of us maybe stop and think about it, right? But for his approach, and if he said he wasn't fiery, I have a couple memes on my phone that would have disagreed. I like Will Power, man. Watching him qualify, I loved his answer talking about how it's like that craft or that skill of getting everything. Yeah. Watching him qualify is quite amazing.
From what we've seen this so far in our playoffs, I have a few phone numbers that he could probably dial to help some guys out. But Brandon, what do you have for us today?
I think Alex Bowman's going to have to take over the championship. He's really smartened up lately. He's really come together. He's ready to just take it.
Well, listen.
Is that towards me?
Listen, let's just tell the whole story in case people didn't see it. My man Kyle was hard on him, justified with some of his stats. I'm willing to back up that your opinion wasn't unfounded. And I don't know if he heard it, but if he did, then you're a motivational speaker.
I'm that guy and lives in a van down by the river. I am a motivational speaker, dude. I can, because I called him Alex Bowman, no show Bowman. Because not showman or Bowman the showman, it was Bowman the no showman. You know what? He has come out strong. Really, he has shown up. And that was my point. He didn't show up the middle part of the season. I mean, I never saw him. I don't even remember looking back at some of the races we did. And it's like, where was Alex? I never saw him. But he showed up at Darlington. He showed up at Kansas yesterday. It's been impressive. He has gone from being a Hendrick car that I didn't even mention when I talked about the Hendrick organization to being almost the Hendrick car in these first two races.
So I think this brings up a really interesting conversation. Who is the favorite for this championship? Two races in.
Will Power is.
Eight to go. Like, if you look at what's happened so far in these playoffs, I don't know who the favorite is. Coming in, I thought Chase Elliott's a favorite. Is he? I don't know where we are. So I'd love to get, we'll start with you, Steve. I would love to get who your favorite is at this point and, of course, why.
My pick hasn't changed. My favorite is still Denny Hamlin in the 11 car. I believe that my concern was the pit crew. They had some struggles this weekend, but at the end of the race, when it was all on the line, they gave him a chance. They got him off pit road in third with a chance to win the race. When I watched Denny Hamlin the last 2 weeks, Darlington and Kansas, while he didn't win either, he was the guy chasing the leader down in both.
Yeah.
Right. Back-to-back second. The guy, he's just always right there. No. And what I mean by that is if he has 10 seconds, the 10th one might cost him the championship, yeah, but I would risk it, right? Like, I think he might have to find that win at Phoenix. But if Denny Hamlin could come in the playoffs and finish second and second, when you think about this, he's been the best playoff driver in both races.
Yeah.
Because it was Eric Jones, non-playoff guy, then it was Bubba Wallace, non-playoff guy. So until someone can outrun Denny Hamlin consistently, he's my championship favorite still.
And that's a valid point. But I, listen, my guy, I'm riding him one more race because it was Kevin Harvick. That's who I had to win the chip. But I want to go back to Denny for a minute. If he can consistently run second, that's good. But there's always that one guy that's going to pop in there and win that race, man, and take that championship from you. That's my problem. The mistakes on pit road are still my problem. They've got to clean it up. You mentioned it earlier on the thing. I can't see a favorite. I look at Denny. I look at 10 races. You can get on a streak. It's such a streaky sport right now when you look at it. I mean, it's just like we said earlier. There were a totally different almost top five at Darlington that you have at Kansas, that you'll have at Bristol, that you'll have. It's hard to really find somebody.
Well, I don't know who the favorite is. I picked Christopher Bell to make it to the Championship Four. I'm going to ride that. He's already advanced. I think Christopher Bell and that team, I think he's ready. I think that team is ready. And I think they're just getting better. And I think they're getting better at the right time. But, you know, what we do know is that we're going to have more calls when we come back. It's the best part of our show. Love to hear from the fans who it is you think can win a championship. And we might talk Kyle Busch.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
If you don't like that kind of racing, don't even watch.
Not surprised about anything. Congratulations.
Oh, he turned it!
No!
Oh, he turned it! No.
Kyle Busch is an
Kyle, what was your thought about Keselowski's little pre-race declaration?
Who?
Everything's great. Looking forward to getting back into my car.
Brad Keselowski?
Yeah, I don't know who you're talking about. Everything's great. Looking forward to getting back to the racetrack.
For these guys, it was actually a broken A-arm that had them in the evening from there.
Kyle Busch and Joey Logano are in a fist fight here on pit road.
You know, we're running like we got wrecked, so it's what you get when you run like
we're the top echelon of motorsports, and we got guys that have never won late model races.
Don't care. Just here so I don't get fined.
I'm answering dumb questions over and over again.
I mean, how can you not love him or hate him? But either way, how about this? Announcement is coming. Tomorrow's the date from Kyle Busch on Twitter earlier today. So I'm pretty excited to see where he's going. A lot of rumors, a lot of rumor mill. But until we see a real announcement, I'm going to go through with you talked about Kyle Busch and what could happen at the Bristol Night Race. I'm excited to watch. The guy's won there 8 times. Coming off a big announcement, maybe he'll go to victory lane again. Let's go back to the phones. Matthew, you're on Motorbus.
Yes, I just want to say, you know, I've been a lifelong NASCAR fan, and you guys do an amazing job with the NASCAR playoffs. I love NASCAR NBC. You guys do awesome. I actually want to go to next year because you guys were just talking about Kyle Busch, and I have a prediction. I think it'd be really cool if he maybe jumps to RCR, which that's the rumors, and he takes over the 3 car. I mean, I know Austin Dillon does good, but I think that'd be pretty crazy to see him in the 3 car because he reminds me of the Intimidator. So, but yeah, guys, keep up the great work. You guys have an awesome show and awesome NASCAR playoffs as always.
Well, Matthew, thanks for the call. That is the rumors. The rumors are RCR, but I've seen rumors be right, be wrong. Rumors were Colleague. Rumors were 2311. Rumors were going back to Joe Gibbs Racing. I think the bigger conversation is, Kyle, regardless of what's announced tomorrow, you've been in the sport a long time.
Yeah.
Are you not a bit surprised this conversation has lasted this long with a star of this magnitude?
Stunned. Not surprised. Stunned. If you had had a driver like this come along 10 years ago, 20 years ago, he would have been snatched up in a week or two. The sport was just in a different place. The sport's in a different place now. So I was stunned when it's happened. But as it's played out, you see why it's happened, and you kind of understand a little bit more. It's like I say all the time. It's only a sport when they throw the green flag. And then when they throw the checkered flag, it goes back to being a business again. This is a business decision. This is not a sport decision.
I don't like to speculate. All the rumors are the rumors, but I don't like to speculate on that. But there are changes in NASCAR that happen with teams and drivers that everybody can come out a winner.
Yes.
Yeah, oh yeah.
And, true. You know, everybody always likes to say, that guy lost.
No.
If the rumors are true, then this could be one of those situations where actually – a lot of people came out winners. I hope that's how it works out for everybody involved.
Yeah.
But you know, that's all you can hope for.
Well, not that that fiery competitor that we saw in that great little montage needs more.
I hope he doesn't go away.
But I'm going to tell you, if he's going to a new team and deep down he wants to prove his own team wrong, I'd like to be a part of that new team because
exactly
he is going
right
to be fired up. It's going to be exciting. Motor Mouse back on Wednesday night. Dale Jr. download on Thursday. Bristol Night Racing Saturday night.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.